Hey, this is Stitch, and I'm not from the Jimmy Doan Show, but you're listening to the December 17th Jimmy Doan Show, Part 2.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay, I got to be me. You'll never be around, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I'll be
back. Back to the slack.
I think my neighbors are worried about me.
Oh, really?
Why?
Because I'm out on the front porch dancing.
Okay. Why? Well, is this not normal?
Well, no, not normally. I'm just normally sitting in my chair kind of looking like that strange dude that probably has a shotgun behind him. But
okay, but I mean, do you have your clothes on and everything?
Oh, yeah, no, I got my clothes on. I got a big old down jacket.
Oh, that's right. It's cold
up there, huh?
Hey, there's just something about Sly, man. It just makes you want to dance.
Oh, there's no question about it.
You know, ordinarily that was when I knew I had enough to drink was when I felt like the urge to dance. And I go, okay, I gotta go now. I'm done.
Well, I love it, man. I love it. You can see some good Sly on YouTube, too. My buddy sends me some of that stuff. I love it. Hey, he's a real Hammond B3, you know. That's
Nobody's doing music like this anymore. No, that's a shame.
It is. It sucks.
Well, we can get to listen to the old stuff. That's why.
Yeah,
that's why Edison invented the whatever it is thing.
The iPod.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, part two, right?
Part two.
Yes, it's still December 17th.
2009.
Jimmy Doan Show, and we got Stitch.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, this is good, because Counselor Curtis is sick, he said, and Jack Rhodes is, I guess, taking care of his kids or whatever.
I guess.
I just want to mention while we go into this, I was sent a book by a fellow named Marty Beckerman, apparently a listener, and he's...
Our listener's name is Marty?
Marty Beckerman. Yeah, he sent me the book called Democracy. He wanted me to read it. It sent me about 2 or 3 months ago, and I'd forgotten about it. It was in my stack of books to read, and I got a note from him the other day that said, you know, have you read it? And since it was free, I figured I'd better do it. Anyway, Adventures with the Loony Left and the Rabid Right is quite interesting. I'm about halfway through it, and I'll finish it and give a more extended review. But apparently he's written for Playboy and the Huffington Post, New York Press. He's been on TV, Fox, MSNBC. So he covered the book basically skewers, mind you, both the right and the left. I mean, the abortionists, anti-abortionists, feminists, anti-feminists, you know, on and on and on. And it's one of these books that... Tell me what you really mean. You know, he doesn't spare any words. The only little complaint I have about it so far is the references. You know, the footnotes are sometimes secondary sources. That is, he'll report that an article, so and so said it according to an article in Newsweek. Well, right. You know, maybe. I don't trust them anyway, so, you know, it's one...
Someone said your mama was so fat, she jumped up in the air and got stuck.
Yeah, that's it. So, anyway, I'll... I will published by Disinformation. Okay, cool.
Sweet.
Well, that's sweet. Cool. So, does he have
a
website?
I'm going to put a link to it.
A link to it. Well, actually, it's disinfo.com. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
All right. Just for I'm going to...
Thank you very much. Made a book sale already.
While we're plugging things, I do want to make sure that people go to the Complete Liberty podcast. That's Wes Bertrand, and he has quite an extensive stuff here on anarcho-capitalism, and he makes the case for it in his first, I think, 9 or 10 shows. He reads a book that he wrote a couple years ago on the principles of anarcho-capitalism, and it's so if you don't want to actually buy the book, which by the way, is free, I say, if you want to buy it for nothing, no, you can download the PDF. He's a... one of these anti-IP guys. I don't want to say anti, but he really takes issue with intellectual property and thinks that the patent system and the copyrights are all bogus, and he goes on to kind of prove it. But he also is like Stefan Molyneux at Freedom Main Radio is one of these people that makes the case for no state.
Yeah.
And he does it quite convincingly, and he's got quite an extensive, I would say his library of stuff here and interviews is almost as extensive as ours. But it's more a little more serious than ours. So anyway, it's a good stuff.
I know. No sound effects, I presume.
No. No, no, none of the good sound effects.
No Sly, no Girl from Ipanema.
No. Well, of course we can download and put them in, I suppose. Curtis, somebody's got a hold of the thing again.
Right here.
And the other one that, of course, that I still listen to and is coming on regularly is the School Sucks podcast, which is,
yeah?
That guy's good too. Yeah. They all know each other, that crowd, apparently, and they interview each other from time to time. So. Exactly. Well, that's one of my favorite. I mean, that is so good. I listen to that like
it's on heavy rotation on your iPod.
Heavy rotation. Oh, speaking of this, was to refer back to part one. You know, I mentioned that the Supreme Court had
pinged our site,
pinged our site, and downloaded something. They were on. You know, when we can tell a little bit about it. We can't tell anybody goes to iTunes or anything like that.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure it was the donation link.
Yeah, you could bet on that, right? No, but you know what we were going to do here, and I did this. I've ordered up some MP3 players. They're the little shuffle clones.
Right.
They're like $8 for a gigabyte.
Wow.
Which means I could put a lot of Jimmy Doan shows
on there.
Not to mention to start it off with the Supreme Court
show,
and then send it to them. You
Our
know,
Supreme Court show.
And
then hopefully then they'll rescind some of those decisions that they.
Yes.
We gave them the perfect reason and standing.
It
as
was
to
like
why.
We gave
it
them
was
a
cut and dry, man.
A verbal amicus brief. Is what we gave them.
That's right.
I mean, all you do is here, ma'am, Secretary so and so, transcribe this. We're going to use this one. Okay, that's
right.
It. End of story.
End of story.
This will be in the opinion. So
that's right.
You know, and just footnote Jimmy Doan Show.
No, I mean, Counselor Curtis just nailed it on that, and it was insane. He was like, you know.
Well, there's a book out called The Dirty Dozen, and that guy covers most of the stuff. We did our show before the book came out. And our Dirty 10 or whatever it was.
Right.
I mean, I think he must have listened to our show before he wrote the book. You know, and of course,
he
made money.
Maybe listened to our show then. Wrote, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you may have instigated
him.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Wouldn't be
probably.
The first time. Well, I mean, when we get the Supreme Court, as I say, if you go through the website and you see who's listening to us, we got somebody from the BlackBerry people, you know, I mean, from their own websites, not just Cox Cable or Roadrunner, but I mean, you can tell when Maytag listens to us or something like that. Of course, most of them are looking for naked women in Brazil, but other than that, it's okay.
That's why I go there.
Yeah, you know, and I noticed that a lot of these people apparently come through anonymizers, which is interesting. They don't want to track.
Well, I understand that completely.
You know, I do, but I mean, you see N/A, 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 you know,
right,
20
know.
Minutes on the Jimmy Doan side.
Right.
Whoa, okay, that's fine.
You know, it was speaking of computers, I can't tell if my computer is a guy or a girl. You know, I was sitting there working on a website, which it translated from geek to English means I was watching porn. And you know, I was watching these two really hot chicks, and you know, I turned to my computer and I said, "Hey, Max, what do you think about that?" I've been calling my computer Max. And all of a sudden, 3 seconds later, the power supply blew out. This is last night, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like going, well, you know, maybe...
That was a carbon ejaculation?
Well, that's not either that or it's jealous and it's a girl, Maxine, you know? So I could be... I don't know. I mean, now the problem is I'm a little, you know, conscientious about what I should do in front of my computer. You know?
I reckon you ought to open it up and see if you got a motherboard or a fatherboard. That should help you.
Cassie, that's why we have you on the show.
That's it.
Solving these problems.
That's it.
I will certainly do that.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah, good luck on that. Okay, so anyway, back to Obama for a minute. I noticed somebody sent me a list of the czars, the current czars.
Oh, God.
There were on this list, there were 31 and counting.
Right. I was going to say, you could do a whole podcast just on reading that.
I mean, honest to God, an auto recovery czar, and then they have a car czar. They have a drug czar, of course, an economic czar. That's cute. An information czar. Now, what do you suppose that is? It's Hermann Göring, not Hermann Göring. Who was the...
Wasn't it Göring?
No, Göring. Göring was the pilot.
Oh no! There was another character. He wasn't one of the major league players, though.
No, who was the propaganda minister during that thing? It was Hermann was the pilot. He was head of the Luftwaffe.
That's right.
And I should remember, I can see the guy there. He was a little weaselly guy that was the propaganda minister, and he was high up. We have an intelligence czar, Dennis Blair. That's good. Retired.
He's actually a good dude.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
No, he's top notch.
What does it say on the little red
thing
about
him? It says, stopped U.S. guided missile program as provocative. Chair of Ultra-Liberal Council on Foreign Relations, which blames American organizations for regional wars. So, okay. Well, maybe he's a mole.
No, he's still a good dude.
Okay. Well, you know, let me put it this way. There are so many people and here locally that in their personal lives actually are moral, good, family, nothing wrong with them. But for some reason, it's like Jekyll and Hyde or pod people or something. They get into government, and suddenly, it's like zombie time or something. I mean, no rules. I mean, they save money for their own retirement, but have no problem spending my money.
Excellent.
Yeah. So
they call it Potomac fever.
No, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up there, for God's sakes. And of course, when I was there, it was still a small town, and it wasn't quite as intrusive as it is today. But boy, I go up there and visit relatives, and it's
scary.
You just have to walk. Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking, whoa, what happened here? This has been a complete, you know, oof. Stimulus Accountability Czar. I don't know what her name is.
Accountability
Czar.
Yes, Earl Devaney. Spent career trying to take guns away from American citizens, believes in open borders to Mexico, author of statement blaming U.S. gun stores for the drug war in Mexico. Okay, whatever. We have a terrorism czar. That's John Brennan, CIA activist, and a weapons czar, Ashton Carter.
Kill all humans. Kill all humans.
That's it.
Must kill all humans.
And a WMD policy czar. We have a special czar for Sudan.
What?
Yeah, Sudan czar, native. He's a native. This is J. Scott Gratian, native of the Democratic Republic of Congo, if that isn't a misnamer. Believes U.S. does little to help the third world countries, Council on Foreign Relations, asking for higher U.S. taxes to support the United Nations. Okay.
Well, yeah, and keep in mind, yes, the Sudan has always been a big liberal poster child.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, but I mean, like, it's...
But why?
Yeah. We have an Afghanistan czar, Richard. That's Richard Holbrooke.
What about we need a Jimmy Jones czar?
Well, we have a border czar, an aid czar, central region czar.
Region.
Yeah, I think that's for the Mideast. Domestic violence czar. If you hit your wife, we got a czar for that. Lynn Rosenthal, director of the National Network to End Domestic Violence, vicious anti-male feminist, supports male castration. All right.
Cool. Lovely.
Yeah. All right. And, of course, Carol Browner, you know, energy and environment czar. We have a faith-based czar, Joshua Dubois, black activist degree in black nationalism, and so forth and so on. So, anyway, that's just a couple of them. I mean, you sit there and think, the country is being divided up by these people. This is just great. And, of course, czars. I thought you were only supposed to have one anyway. I guess Obama czar.
Obama czar.
EJ sent us some names for Obama.
Yeah, no, yeah, the names. Hey, let me just go through here real quick on a couple of them.
EJ is writing. He said it's, you know, of course, Christmas season, so he's having to make a lot of chocolate, but he's trying to do his best to come up with a name a day. But sometimes he drops behind, but then sometimes he catches up. So.
Yeah. So anyway, as a tribute or an homage to Homer Simpson, he calls him the Dope-bama.
Dope-bama. Nice.
The Obama, because he was bowing at everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Obama. Yeah. Obama.
Yeah.
That's hard to say.
I know, Obama. But, that's Japanese.
Right.
So that's where you bow and everything. The Boobama, of course. Barack Hussein Talibama.
Nice.
Yeah, that's I like that one. The Cow Tower in Chief, somebody called him. Barack Hussein Obama. Barack. Yeah, I love that. Let's see. And then what is it? Mac Obama? No, Mao Obama after Mao Tse-tung, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mao Obama.
Mao Obama.
Barack Insane Britannia. No, Boobama. Obozo.
Obozo.
Barack Disdain Ho-Ho-Bama.
Christmas time.
Yeah, right. Christmas time. Alibaba and his Horus Thieves.
Yeah, that was for the Czar's thing. That's what I remember.
Yeah, no, that's what we got so far. But I mean, there's more. I've seen him from time to time, so I've been clipping him out here and put him in Jimmy's notes.
Oh.
Well, I know I got a full thing. When I'm dead, you need to go through and erase these notes first thing.
What?
It's probably incriminating.
You know, there's lots of incriminating stuff here.
You're dead.
Yeah, I'm dead. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Right. But I put in little sayings here from time to time that I find.
The truth must come out.
If it ain't broke. Perfect. If it ain't broke, fix it till it is.
If it ain't broke, fix it till it is.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite one was the government. We're not happy till you're not happy.
Yeah, right.
We say that about the FAA.
Is
that
right? The FAA, that's right.
Yeah, so they...
The Red Tape Society.
Boy, I'll tell you.
Oh, I was listening to that about the red tape about that what was it, the MI-8 helicopter that was trying to go rescue people from after Katrina?
Oh, yeah.
It was because it was a Russian military or a Russian helicopter that was certified experimental.
Right.
And they wouldn't allow it to rescue people because it wasn't certified in the U.S., even though it's this exact same helicopter, you know, does that over there and whatever. It's a military helicopter, people. It can do anything. Hold 28 people, whatever. Put it on here, and they wouldn't do it. You know, there's some bureaucracy for you.
Oh, man.
And then I think you guys also said on the show, again, I know we said it over here, it's nobody's ever been fired for saying no.
Right.
Well, this is what I've been reading. I've been rereading in my bathroom here, rereading Parkinson's Law. It's actually called The Law of Delay. And they talk about the way a bureaucracy works. And that is, the idea is to delegate everything you do to somebody else. You could delegate up or down or sideways. Mm-hmm. And as he mentions towards the end of this is, everything starts with no. Because the problem with a yes is somebody's going to have to take some accountability.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So with no, it was decided.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So that'll be, that's interesting.
You've entered the land of the cubicle world.
Yeah, no, and that's, of course, why I revere and reread probably way more than I should the Dilbert stuff.
Yeah.
And go to his blog every once in a while, too. We were supposed to have this podcast 2 days ago on December 15th, which, by the way, was Bill of Rights Day.
Yeah.
And I thought we're screwed because there's an article by Brian. Right, well, Brian Doherty wrote a thing, I think it was on lewrockwell.com or something, one of those that I read quite regularly. Tim Lynch at Cato pisses in our cornflakes on the morning of Bill of Rights Day with his sad but true reflection on the state of our constitutional rights. Here's some excerpts. The First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. However, it's a crime to mention the name of a political candidate in an ad in the weeks preceding an election. And they also, of course, insist on gag orders and thousands of federal investigations. Second Amendment says you can have a right to keep and bear arms. However, they can make it a crime to keep and bear arms. So,
right.
Fourth Amendment has the right to be secure in their persons, houses, papers against unreasonable searches. However, they insist that they can storm into homes in the middle of the night and giving residents a few seconds to answer their, quote, knock, unquote, at the door. You know, they knock with a bulldozer, or like they did at Waco. You know, you knock with a tank,
right?
Burn up 88 kids. Okay, no problem. Fifth Amendment says that private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. Yeah,
God.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, eminent domain. Hello, you know, the pharmacy company wants some land. Boom, done. The casino, done. You know, Eighth Amendment prohibits cruel and unusual punishments. So they insist that jailing people who try to ingest a life-saving drug is not cruel. So, you know, and of course, if you want to smoke a little marijuana to get away from the pain, but sorry, jail time for you.
Yep.
And so anyway, Ninth and Tenth Amendments, bye-bye. Never been used anyway. So another...
The Ninth and Tenth Amendments never been used.
Sorry.
You may want to re-explain that for people.
No, the Ninth and Tenth basically say... that this list that we've just given you is not a complete list at all. It's just to give you a hint of what we're really talking about here.
And we want to make ironclad sure that these rights. Yeah. You have the right to free speech.
Right. These are rights without the government. You have these rights.
Right.
Okay. No constitution. No, nothing. Just living in the wild. You have these rights. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we're setting up this government. And we're going to give them, you know, some powers and everything. And here's a piece of paper that says exactly what they can do and no more.
Right.
And just to make it crystal clear, we're going to list about eight of them here.
Right.
Just so you'll get an idea of the drift. And the Ninth and Tenth Amendments say, and by the way, that list is only a partial list.
Right.
The states and you people retain all of the other ones not mentioned here.
Right.
Don't think this is a complete list.
Right.
And of course, no. And so when somebody shows up on the doorstep of the Supreme Court and says, "Well, you know, I have the right to privacy," and then they say, "Well, it's not in the Constitution." Well, not supposed to be. It's in the Ninth and Tenth. I mean, that's one of them that's not enumerated.
Right.
And
there's an infinite amount of rights.
Infinite number of rights.
That's
exactly right.
Right.
And so and the Supreme Court has a history of, unfortunately, of saying, "Well, no, it's not one of the eight." But it's not supposed to be.
Well, until they listen to our Supreme Court show. Then
yeah, that's right.
Well, that'll turn the tide.
Yes, we're hoping on that. And we better be footnoted on that one, too, by God.
Absolutely.
Or we'll sue them for IP.
Would that be considered a secondary source, though?
What? If they footnote the Jimmy Doan show?
Yeah. Kind of like footnoting Newsweek.
Yeah, they got us on tape saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they got us on tape. I think we'd be an original source.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Yeah, I think we're okay on that.
Original thought.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Although it did come, some of it came from my great-grandfather, who was one of my personal heroes, and a justice on the Supreme. They should read his stuff. There's 14 boxes of crap over there in the Library of Congress. They have to walk across the street, and they can read his stuff and make the right decisions. Okay.
It doesn't fit into their agenda, though.
No excrement.
No excrement.
That's a family show.
No scat, brother.
No scat. That's right. Okay, well, I'm done here pretty much. I did see one thing. We can go into a couple of light notes.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Stitch, do you have anything?
If you would like a Hindus in the News, I can provide.
Wait. Maybe I've got... Wait. Just... It's a possibility here. A little Hindu in the music.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Hindus in the News.
I tell you, we'll do a Hanger Dogs podcast without the hanger, with only one dog. That's right. It's a Hanger Dog.
It's one Hanger Dog.
That's it.
Apparently, a man in India has proved that nothing's impossible, not when you have the willpower and the right equipment. Frustrated with the hilly range that blocked easy access to his home, Ramchandra Das, a villager from Kawada in eastern Bihar, slugged away at the Rocky Mountain for 14 years, creating a small tunnel.
14.
The tunnel, measuring 10 meters in length and 4 meters in width, finally enabled Das to park his truck by his home. Prior to this, there was no convenient way for him to drive his vehicle to his house. Losing the truck to thieves was a constant fear for him, and such limitations heightened this worry. I could not park my truck near my house. Since the mountain blocked my path, I had to leave my truck miles away, so I decided to do something about it myself. Das was not the only one who complained about the mountain, given the rocky terrain and poor road infrastructure. Other villages also had trouble traveling back home from surrounding fields. Before the handy tunnel was carved out, visiting the nearby amenities and locations ended up being a 7-kilometer journey for these villagers. All of them had brought up this issue with relevant authorities. However, when the powers that be refused help in this matter, Das decided to rise to the occasion. The resulting tunnel has now been welcomed by locals and authorities to this effect. It is the favored mode of transportation for villagers. Authorities have also been quite vocal in their support for Das. We rarely come across a man who can work so hard to achieve his goal, was a comment by a local government official. So, there you have it.
Wow, that's right. That's right. So he built this tunnel all by himself.
Yeah, the market demanded that somebody build a tunnel, and by golly, Das did it.
It's just like that guy that's blowing out the mountain here locally for Chief Thundercloud or whatever it is. You know.
Oh yeah.
That guy's 40, 50 years. It's Rocking Horse or whatever his name is. Crazy Horse. He's converting an entire mountain into a statue of Crazy Horse.
Oh really?
No, but this guy, 14 years, and of course I thought the end of the I thought the end of the story was going to be and the tunnel collapsed on his truck.
Right.
Hindus in the news. And killed him.
And
okay.
Killed him. Well, I mean, I remember you guys did a story a while back about there was a town with a whole whole lot of bachelors, there was no good road.
No
going.
Women, yeah. There's no way to get to the women.
Right, so they were building their own road.
They built their own road, and then they were stopped because they went through a national forest.
Right.
Well, that's public property. Yeah, you know,
I don't know over there, but it's, you never underestimate the power of Boondang. You know,
right, exactly.
Isn't that the truth? Tired of looking at it on the tube.
Boondang.
That's right.
14 years.
Yeah,
14 years of free time to dig out a tunnel.
Yeah, well, his truck didn't get much use, so it's
apparently not. I
probably
know.
Probably just about pristine. It's a beauty.
Beep, beep.
It looks like the one in Cars or whatever it is. You know, who was the bucktooth truck? And
I don't know.
No, it was like
the cable guy.
Yes, yeah, cable guy.
Cable guy.
It's cable guy. Yeah. Okay, so moving on.
Oh yeah, that's it for Hindus in the news.
Yeah, that's it for Hindus in the news. Right. Thank you so much. No, I thought we were gonna have a little ironical ending to that, but it works for me.
Not all of them do.
No, I know. Wait, no, what are you doing? You're overlaying the machine gun with the...
Well, you know, it's whatever happens.
Okay.
You know, I'm not in control of all the sound effects. Some of these were mixed by a counselor.
Ah, okay. Well, that explains that. I did notice that there's an experiment to test killing one owl to help another. We've talked about this before.
What?
Yeah. We had to kill all the people to save the village, you know.
Right.
Grants Pass, Oregon. Scientists wanted to determine if killing the aggressive barred owl that has invaded old-growth forests of the Northwest would help the protected spotted owl. Federal biologists are doing a formal study to decide whether to do the experiment and laying out the terms if they go ahead. Available for public comment, expected to be completed by the fall of next year, about 12 months away. It's been done experimentally so we can nail down whether, in fact, removing barred owls would improve spotted owl demographics. And I mean, you know, They're gonna
stick it up.
I mean, no kidding. I mean, this is. I'm looking at this and I'm laughing my butt off because we've talked about this before. What do you do when one endangered species eats another endangered species?
Right.
Hello.
Survival of the endangered.
That's right. Survival of the least endangered.
Right.
That's exactly right.
No, you start playing. You're playing God when you do that, and it's like playing whack-a-mole, you know, quite literally, actually, I suppose. But, you know, you hit one, another one pops up. So they get rid of that horned owl, they're going to have this mass explosion in the population of some other varmint that they don't want. And then they say, it's because we killed all the great horned owls.
Yeah, no, they've done this on more than one occasion where they've, like, wiped out some particular varmint, like you say, and then had an explosion, or vice versa. They'll wipe out some varmint, and then a whole bunch of the rest of them die off, the predators or whatever it is. I mean,
right, because there's no varmints to eat.
Right. I mean, they were, you know, like coyotes and rabbits or something. They've had real problems with that kind of stuff.
They wipe out the coyotes, and then they get all these varmints.
They get the rabbits, right. Then they wipe out the rabbits, and the guy gets the coyote. Of course, you can't wipe out the rabbits. There ain't no way, but they had the same thing.
That's a hard nut to crack. Right,
yeah,
there.
That one is. Yeah.
Prairie dogs.
Yeah,
prairie dogs.
Yeah, another one. They because horses were stepping in the what you call it thing.
Oh yeah, no, I hate prairie dogs.
Do you?
Oh yeah, no, you get mixed up in a prairie dog village someplace, a little prairie dog town with your horse, and it's bad news.
Well, you're not supposed to do that.
No, you try to stay away from it. You can kind of see him, but every night if you're at a full gallop going across something and he steps in one of those holes, you're pretty well screwed.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, of course, I think that's probably pretty much the same reason you don't stick your hand in a hole with a bunch of rattlesnakes in it. It's
nothing I've really considered, but sure.
But don't they
did it on Flash Gordon. You had to stick their hand in that little thing.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that was, they had to do it in Roman Holiday.
Yeah,
was what they had the mouth of truth there in Italy or whatever.
The mouth of truth.
Yeah, no, it was Cary. It wasn't Cary Grant. It was the other guy.
Was it a talkie?
No. Yes, it was a talkie. It was black and white. Right. It was a talkie.
Okay.
It was Audrey Hepburn and whatever. And he, it was okay. Never mind. Council members and administration announced tougher penalties on toy gun sales. This is in New York City Hall. Christine C. Quinn, together with council member someone, announced legislation that would increase the penalties on selling a toy gun to $5,000 for the first time violation.
What?
Yeah, this
yeah,
is
I
in New York.
I don't understand this. Now, this is a, if you sell a toy gun, they're going to persecute you?
Yeah, despite the fact that New York City's... Well, it's because in New York City, if you have a toy gun that looks like a real gun, that's what you can't do. You'd have to paint them any one of three approved colors, which I think are yellow, pink, and something else.
I've seen a pink gun at Pickett's Weaponry out there.
I understand that, but here's the deal. They want to pass a law that says they raise the fine for selling a toy gun that looks like a real gun to $5,000 for the first offense, and of course at the same time they're going to institute a public awareness campaign.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Despite the fact that New York City's toy and imitation gun law have been in existence for several years, many merchants continue to sell items that resemble real guns, says the speaker. Our communities are at risk when they cannot tell a fake toy gun from a real one, and dangers from these items presented are all too real. Children have been hurt and even killed.
With toy guns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
your Howdy Doody cat gun that you bought.
Right, and it looks like a real gun, exactly.
Looks like with an ivory handle. And
ivory handle,
and
silver.
And steel.
That's right.
And it's got a roll of caps, and it makes a noise.
And it makes a noise.
An explosive detonating
noise. And in fact, it rotates. The little thing rotates.
It rotates around, and smoke comes out of it.
And smoke comes out of it, that's right.
And we had these in the 50s, or 40s, or 30s, or whatever.
That's right, exactly. And your, you know, Red Ryder.
And you can't. You can't have those. You can't walk in with your plastic holster into a 7-Eleven wearing those in New York City.
You can't sell one with a $5,000 fine. So.
But what if you had one?
I think that what happens is they break your door down, burn your house, kill your family, and take it away, and then put you in jail.
You do get thrown in jail.
Yeah. Well, for the safety of the
community. That's right. For the safety. That's right.
Yeah. Well, wow. I have two police blotter inputs here that you might find entertaining. One comes out of Findlay, Ohio. Blotter says a woman called the police early Saturday morning, October 31st, during an argument with her husband after he claimed that the woman's daughter performed oral sex on him and the daughter was better at it.
So what was the complaint?
There was an argument.
I see, and domestic violence.
Yeah.
Well, we have a domestic violence czar for that. Wait a minute, hold on, let me get
No, what's her, Erin Gobra or
yeah,
whatever.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Second police blotter note, this is actually somewhat more local in Steamboat Springs, Colorado on November 4th. Police were called to a report of a suspicious incident in the 2900 block of West Acres Drive where a woman reported that she found feces in her toilet that she did not think she put there.
Ah. Is Pinky in the area over there?
I don't know.
What is it, moose invasion or what?
Yeah, the mystery crapper. Yeah. Well, the fact that they, you know, she probably called 911, and then, you know, how did she convince them that they needed to have the police come over there? I don't get it, but...
Well,
yeah,
if you've been
right.
to Steamboat Springs, there's not much. I mean, November, there's probably snow all over the place. Who had anything?
They should rename it Cleveland Steamer Springs, maybe.
Cleveland Steamer. That's it, yes.
There's your problem, lady.
Yeah,
and there it goes away.
That's right. Exactly. That's why I was going to tell Stitch to do this when he comes here. Of course, house might be a little messy, and the way we fix that is you don't look.
No problem.
So
you guys could throw a bag over my head and walk me into the space and just set me there, and then take the bag off.
Well, I don't know if we want to do that either.
No.
We'd have to blind you, I think. We'd get a fork and put his eyes out, I guess.
Yeah, we'll give him some sort of...
Yeah, no, we have to give him a sedative.
You know, I think I'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I said, if you've ever visited, third world crap holes like Djibouti and Karachi or, you know...
Well, you know, the thing is, though, you visit Gene's place, and it's like, God, it's like a model house, for God's sakes. I mean, it's I didn't believe a place could be that clean and neat.
Well, that's corporate sponsors doing. You know that's not Gene.
Well,
I don't know.
Gene's no,
kind
Gene,
of a neatnik.
No,
he bought that floor scrubber thing for his hangar, so.
Yeah, I mean, look. When I walked into that hangar and realized I could eat off the concrete, I'm thinking...
And then did it, yeah.
And of course, Mrs. Jimmy was sitting there saying, and why can't you do that?
Yeah, that's great.
That was... Jimmy's going,
you know, if I'd have known that it was going to look like this, I wouldn't have brought you here.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, because she went in there and of course, we stayed at Gene's house.
Yeah.
And of course, she was just gaga. I mean, he had, you know, the official basket of fruit, 63 different kinds of wine, food, I mean, and made us like... you know, a breakfast that Brennan's would have killed for the breakfast we had.
Sure.
So, you know.
No, they're the penultimate hospitality.
They really are. Unbelievable.
Folks. Yeah.
Stitch is more like there's some cold pizza in the fridge, and I think there's a half-drink beer over there. That's breakfast.
Yeah. Works for me.
Works for me. That's right.
I'm hungry. I'm going to go raid the hangar.
That's it. There's enough out there, by God. I got to say that.
I'm going to go raid the hangar.
Yeah.
Well, let's take another lightning quick break here. We'll be right back on
Lightning Quick.
Jimmy Dolan. There he goes.
Woo! Jimmy Dolan Show.
We're back.
Okay,
on the Jimmy Dolan Show.
Oh, yeah. We're back. All right.
Well, we never really left.
I'm gonna have to break down here and probably, you know, I'm a lifetime member of the antique APM, whatever it is, you know, the antique
airplane association.
Yeah, and they've sent me a plea for money. So
antique flying another.
Yeah, well, I probably should get an antique and fly it over there.
I think you should.
I would like to. But
how's the search for the land yacht coming?
Actually, quite good. It's just the search for the funds to purchase it, of course, are coming up a little short.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But I think the first thing I really want to get is a hot tub.
You've been out at garage sale looking for land yachts and hot tubs?
Yeah, I sure have. They had one guy here that said basically if you said it works. He says he's leaving town next week. If you come and get it, you can have it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh,
Price is
right.
Yeah. Well, I have it for $200, which is a gift.
Wow. So, did you find anything else at garage sales?
Actually, today I went out to the dump and I got a Macintosh out there, Macintosh Classic, which is probably worth, I don't know, $5-$10 easy. So, I mean, you know, I haven't fired it up yet, but
right.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Yeah. So anyway, no, it's fun time. No, not much garage sales. Unfortunately, people are, you know, they go onto eBay and they knock it down, you know, $10 or something off of what you get it on eBay and say this is a good deal. And I suppose it is if you want it, but I mean, I'm in it for the money.
Right.
You know, I got to pay my gas bill and stuff. So.
Right.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm the only thing I've got left here is. That I thought was interesting. The headline caught my eye. Britain bounces checks after 300 years. This is
what?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to outlaw checks in Britain.
That what?
Is, yeah, you're going to have to use a debit card or cash or something. They apparently in the October 31st, whatever that is, the target date, 2018. They're not.
Oh, nobody be around then.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true, and let me tell you, they should.
Brits believe in the Mayan calendar.
Again, if I were in Congress, I would pass every law to take effect on December 13th, 2012.
Because they seem to be doing close to that.
Yeah,
I think it's the 21st, 2012.
Okay, might be. Oh, it's 12 backwards. Okay. Yeah. October 31st, 2018, they're going to, you know, ashcan the check clearing system so that you write a check and it's like no good anymore or something. But I thought it was interesting. The use of checks has fallen. Of course, it has everywhere. And I don't even get checks back anymore. I get them all on, you know, it's online. But the check, I still can write the check. But they, apparently the number of checks has dropped by from around 11 million. This is in England, Great Britain, whatever, UK. From about 11 to about 4 million in the last decade, and or thereabouts, two decades. It costs about £1, it says, to process every check. I mean, that's
really
$1.60. That's, you know. Now, I want to tell you something. You can say what you want, but it's a lousy piece of paper with a magnetic stripe on it. If it costs £1, somebody's getting rich.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you got to believe it. It doesn't cost that. And then, of course, without checks, we're very concerned that people will be forced to keep large amounts of cash in their home, leaving them vulnerable to theft and financial abuse. I mean, this is the concern of they're talking about the old people that have never gotten on the internet or anything, and you know are too can't teach an old dog new tricks. What are
right.
we? So they're going to have a outreach program for, I guess, to do something, have people come in the house. And do their online whatever it is for them whenever they want to write a check, I guess, and then steal their money. I don't know. The oldest.
And how much does that cost to have somebody go to someone's house and do?
I'm guessing more than £1.
Yeah, I'm thinking too.
Yeah, something like that. Double anyway. Yeah. The oldest surviving check in Britain was written in 1659, according to the council, and made out for the £400. This is the other thing. Made out for £400. equivalent to about 42,000 pounds today. It was signed by Nicholas so-and-so and drawn on and so forth and so on. In those days, apparently until the 1830s, when you wrote a check, you actually physically walked over and handed it to the guy, and then they physically walked over to the bank and got it. There was no clearinghouse until the 1830s.
So okay. They made some money off of it. Man, I mean, that's amazing.
Well, it is. It is amazing in a way, because this is what happens. Here's the deal. You understand that the clearing is through the Federal Reserve of checks. So if the Federal Reserve goes broke or decides not to do it, that's the end of check writing, you know, right there. Whereas if it were handled by a private company, you know, they would have a way around it, I'm sure.
Well, I did notice when I was in, you know, one of our favorite stores, Walmart, the other day, and I wrote a check, and they zipped it through this little machine, and it, like, instantly came out of my bank account.
Ah, it's like a debit check.
Yes, it was like a debit check.
Cool.
And, well, I mean, I thought it was cool, except for the fact that I was going to float that money for a couple of days.
You know? No floating anymore!
I was gonna float it like an L.A. rocker,
yeah,
you know, and I got home, and I said, you know, I'm just gonna check my little online, you know, whatever bank thing, and sure enough, man, whoppo, it was on there, looks like a debit card, and
oh my God.
Yeah, so, I mean, no more, you know, like...
Well, the only way you can float it now, which I do, of course, is I mail the checks.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got 2 or 3 days before they...
Right.
Before they do that, but it, boy, it doesn't take any time. Once they get it, boy, I'll tell you, they have an automatic letter opener, and they have that little check goes right in that little slot machine, and it's done.
Right. Well, and it's always nice to have a couple bank accounts, too, because you can always deposit one check from one bank account into another, and then they clear you on the ATM originally, and then you get another day or two to put it in there, so, you know, you can always float yourself some money.
Sounds like you're skilled at this.
Yeah.
You know, it's called survival, man, you know, sometimes.
Well, this is, they arrest people for that.
Well, probably.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't going to say that, but, if you want my legal advice.
All right!
Go
back to part one, folks.
Wait, no, we got a, Stitch is taking over here. That's right. Your attorney with all of your answering all of your legal questions, perfectly legal today.
Okay, here's my legal advice. My legal advice, Eric, in case somebody asks you if you're taking money and shifting it from one bank to another to cover your checks.
Right.
Don't say anything.
Wow, that's great advice.
Okay.
Sure. All right.
If the cops come over to my door, what do I tell them?
You don't say anything.
Yeah.
Not even if you come up with something you think is absolutely brilliant. You'll get yourself a lawyer, and you've got all the time in the world to have something said properly.
Well, of course, it's on my I don't have to say anything, because it's on my my quote welcome mat, which says come back with a warrant.
Can't you read?
That's right. I mean, all I have to do is, if they're at the door, I just point down.
Right.
You know,
saves a lot of words.
That's why it's on the welcome, on the entrance mat, I guess we'd call it. The only last thing I've got here, which
it's not truly a welcome mat.
No, definitely not. No.
Oh, let's take another lightning fast break here.
Oh God, here we go again.
Well, you know, I got to pay the bills here occasionally. Well,
sure.
You know, one bill.
Lightning fast.
We'll be right back on the Jimmy Dolan Show. And we're back.
Okay, you got that marked. Okay,
woo.
Cool. The only thing I've got, which unfortunately I can't show you, I'm going to print it out. Maybe I'll
hold it up to the microphone.
Okay, it is what I
call. Oh, cool.
Yeah,
it's what I call the Last Supper. It's a great picture of Harry Reid explaining something about the healthcare thing, and it looks like the Last Supper. I mean, here he's standing there with his hand out, kind of like Jesus.
Right.
And on either side are these disciples.
Right.
And there's about 12 of them all together. And I mean, literally, it looks like the, you know, what I'm talking about here, the Last Supper, Da Vinci.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is, and I'm looking at this, and there's
who's playing Mary Magdalene?
There's the little girl. I don't know if it's not Merce Krakowski, but I think it's the senator from, I think she's from
Heidi.
No. This is the one from Washington State. Whatever that little girl, Patty somebody. Yeah. And, of course, the architects of the Dodd is here. Schumer, and which is amazing that Schumer's actually in the background, because they say that the way to be seriously injured is to stand between him and a microphone. And you saw where he got shot down for calling the stewardess a bitch on the airplane. He was, apparently he was talking on a cell phone, and of course it's a federal law that you know, when they get ready to start the plane up, they you're supposed to turn off your, you know, they announced to turn off. Well, he was still jibber jabbering along, and so the stewardess comes up, or the flight attendant, I guess, excuse me, comes up and says,
waitress.
The hot chick. Yeah, the hot chickette. Okay. Anyway, she comes up and says, would you please, you know, you have to turn off your cell phone now. You have to stop talking. And he said, no, I don't have to until you close the door. I'm busy, you know. And he's apparently talking about the health care, whatever the hell it is. I don't know. And she says, no, we can't, you know, you're holding up the plane. It was a shuttle from New York to Washington. And he says, yeah. Okay. So he closes his phone, and as she walks away, everybody in the first class or wherever he was, or no, shuttle, it was the first class, heard him say the bitch or something like that. So, so not a good sign, and better than the rest of us. He can talk on his cell phone, and nobody else can. So anyway,
special.
He's special people, and Max Baucus is here, and Dodd, and then there's and then the reporters and everything. But I say, I'm going to print this picture out because
you can email it to me, and I'll put a link to it.
Well, there you have it.
See?
Well,
anyway, you don't have to mail it to our listener.
You cut me off at the pass.
Well, the little problem I've got, I'm going to have to wait. It's the strangest thing. I cannot upload anything more than about 400K right now. It chokes. I can download, all my mail comes in, the internet, everything, all that comes in perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be a very large piece of porn. It comes in movies, no problem.
Very large.
But if I want to upload anything more than about
a magnificent piece of porn.
Yeah, no, I mean really good stuff, you know.
I mean the house
large
lists as it creeps through the pipe.
No, I mean you
here.
Print this out on a large format roll printer, you know, this banner sized, okay? In, you know, 1200 DPI, no problem. But if I try and send out, you know, just
a pubic hair.
Yeah, that's it. Right. You know, done, gone, nothing. Okay.
Well, that sucks. Call up your... I thought you were calling up to get...
They're coming Saturday to look at...
Because everybody wanted to see us on the TV show.
They're coming Saturday.
Okay.
So maybe by the next time we're on...
Jimmy needs to get a... He's still got his dial-up telephone, but, you know, you need to get one of these touch-tone ones, you know. It's like,
what is that sound?
I know, he's never heard it.
I've never heard it. What I heard is click, 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 click,
click, click, click, click, click, click.
Yeah, I mean, what? I don't understand it. The problem is I just don't like people with a lot of zeros in their phone number.
Oh, God, it takes forever.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, it comes back.
You're getting old,
I'm telling you. So, no, I mean, I have a special... My phone numbers are not arranged alphabetically. They're arranged according to numerical order so that I could call the people with ones and twos in their phone number first.
That's Jimmy's. You make Jimmy speed dial if you got ones and twos in your number.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to be on my speed dial,
make
change
sure
your number to ones and twos.
You know, it's great. If he has anybody with any, like the cable people or DSL, they come over here, they look at stuff around, they go, what's that? And then Jimmy will tell them, they go,
somebody was complaining about the orange bulbs in the room. I said, those are tubes. What? You know, what do you mean orange bulbs? That's the filament. He's looking at us, says, is that some new technology? I've never seen that before.
Oh, yeah, that's new.
That's new. That doesn't...
We're cutting edge here, brother.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, they
threw out that relay system we had.
Yeah. No, I mean, they look at it and they think they've never seen an LED shape like that before.
Oh, my God.
And they'd give out that kind of heat.
Right.
Unbelievable. I'm just talking about new technology. It's great.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Space heater.
It's a space heater LED.
That's right.
Special.
Special.
Anyway, I'm done unless you got something special.
What do you got, Stitch?
I'm Winchester.
Oh, you're Winchester? All right. I'm just
I can always come up with something, but I got to think.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, that's always so damn hard.
There was something I just saw. This is a parents and school tangle over boys' long locks. This is in Balch Springs, Texas, and this kid has been suspended from pre-kindergarten because he likes his hair a little on the floppy side.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically they're having this big scuffle over there. They kicked me out of this place. And the thing is, I was saying, I think it's Ron White's kid because his name, he likes to prefer the nickname Tater Tot.
Ah.
So I figured.
You know, you've heard the Ron White does that. One
tater
of the first,
salad.
Tater salad. Yeah,
that was
salad,
it. Yeah. My son, Tater Tot.
Tater Tot.
Yeah, so. I don't know. We'll see if that...
Somebody's watching. If he's pre-kindergarten and watching Ron White, I don't know. He's got an education, that's for sure.
Well, I'm saying if he's Ron White's kid, he doesn't have any choice. Unless...
Well, I know, but that's he wouldn't be Ron White's kid if he's 5 years old, because I think that bit is older than 5 years. Well, still, oh, no, who knows? He's got two tater tots.
Yeah.
It's not like he's got, you know, intellectual property on the one.
Yeah, right. No, you can... Yeah, that's right. You can copy them. That's good. Good fun.
Although I did, what was it, Eric? Did you send, somebody sent the fact that the Swedes repealed some law that allowed people to name their kids whatever they wanted?
Yeah. No, they didn't they institute a law that says you, it was in Germany maybe, they instituted a law that said you have to have a spellable name or something. You know, you can't put ampersands and, you know,
print signs
and stuff like that. And, you know, it has to be a recognized. They were going to take control, basically, over what you name your kid to some extent.
Oh, well, that was probably the Germans, but I think the Swedes actually. There was some law that said they couldn't, like they couldn't name their kid Metallica, which somebody did.
Uh huh.
Right.
And then they finally repealed the law, saying, "Yeah, you can name your kid whatever you want, as long as it's not God, devil, or something else." I forget what the other one was.
Yeah. Well, devil in Swedish is förbannad. I know you can't do that. I learned my street Swedish pretty quickly when I was over there, 8 months, desperately trying to get laid, and succeeded. Yeah, did okay on that.
I don't have, I've got a little list.
Let me tell you, I do have one other little thing here, okay. And that is that I noticed it here yesterday or today or something that, and this is actually not exactly a light note in a way, the U.S. filed an antitrust suit against Intel, and their crime is has to do with intellectual property. That is to say, they're not divulging to NVIDIA their chips, their video chips.
Right.
They've come out with some pretty fast video chips, and since they're not telling their competitor how to make this chip, the United States has decided this falls under antitrust.
What?
And this is illegal. Monopoly power. What they're hoping for, of course, and it's NVIDIA and. You know, of course, this is one of the things I've always said is the government, you know, it's one thing to have a referee, but when the referees start stacking up on one of the team's side, you know, you kind of wonder, and especially since they got guns, right? And they're like loaded guns, too, not just the starter's pistol. But the complaint was Intel was making it difficult for NVIDIA to copy their chips. So they're so the United States government, at NVIDIA's request, obviously, so their lobbyists must be more important than Intel's, which is surprising. And they've decided to go ahead and sue Intel for this. I mean, you know, what's it coming to? I have to laugh because...
Well, if you did away with the intellectual property piece, I suppose. But
well,
that
it's
would drive
interesting.
People, you know, if you did that, that would drive people to do what Intel does, make it difficult for somebody to copy what they've done.
Let me tell you, if you go to the Wes Bertrand's website on the, you know, the Complete Liberty or whatever, he talks about extensively about intellectual property and why it should be the patent and copyright laws should never have been in the first place. He goes on quite, and it's food for thought, no question about it. He makes a convincing argument. You have to think about it for a while. You have to think about a lot of the ramifications. He's obviously put a lot of thought into it. But I thought, interestingly, that apparently one of the reasons that NVIDIA is doing this is that another competitor, AMD, uh-huh, got away with it. The Intel had to pay them like $1.2 billion to settle out of court.
Oh, so it's the Landrieu effect.
Yes. So, yeah. So anyway, that's, I mean, stunning.
Where's our stuff, man?
Yeah, exactly. Where's my bailout?
Where's my stuff, man?
We needed to buy stuff. Did you actually, speaking of buying stuff that we'd like to have, Lardo sent around that that particular AvWeb link. What was that jet they're selling? It was a Swedish, you know, Mach whatever, 1.5 interceptor.
I thought it's not a flanker.
Yeah, flanker. That's it.
That's actually Russian.
Russian. Yeah.
SU-29. Yeah.
So, oh, that's an SU-29. Okay. And yeah. So they're selling that. That's the, you know, what is it? That's like the first something jet we sold over here that's kind of brand new, that's Russian?
Might be. Yeah, it could very well be. I mean, there are some of those, you know, some of those jets have come up for sale.
I mean, it's a totally refurbished one, isn't it?
It could be. Yeah.
And how much was it?
Yeah, they didn't list the price.
Oh.
But it's Mach. It's got to be Mach 1.5 at least, isn't it? Mach 2?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you need to ask the price, you can afford the gas.
Okay.
Or if you don't have to ask the price, you can afford the gas, I guess, rather.
Yeah.
Golly. You could buy an awful lot of aircraft for the gas that you could burn in one hop on that plane.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine.
That definitely...
Well, you can throttle it down and fly it in economical mode.
Yeah, and I'm sure the dashboard
comes
with those little green leaves that get illuminated on the dashboard as you're in economy mode.
Yeah,
that's it. You got that little guy behind your head going, now, man, you need to go into blower.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, but you're going to tap right into blower and you're just going to be pissing fuel out the back end.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
Yeah. I would.
I think anybody would.
No.
Hell yeah.
Any guy.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, I'm sure a lot of girls are going to be bidding on this.
Yeah,
plane.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Patty Wagstaff, maybe, right?
Unless you're a green weenie guy, in which case, no, you would.
Right. Well, we don't like or know any of those, I don't think. So.
Yeah.
There was an Amish man who was arrested for drunken buggy driving.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
You sent it to me, I believe.
Might have. this was in East Lampeter. Was it over there in Pennsylvania? He was basically just in the center of the roadway.
Of course, they got those big orange signs on the caution signs on the back. They have to wear.
Yeah, slow moving vehicle signs. Yeah.
And
right.
he was actually slumped over and he was asleep. Okay, and they said a strong.
Of course, the horse knew where to go.
Well, the horse was just stopped.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't even driving. He was just parked.
Well, you're not allowed to park in the middle of the road anyway.
Yeah, but the whole point is the keys weren't in the ignition.
That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm saying.
You know, I mean,
Where were the keys?
That's right. You know, I didn't think about that. The keys were not in the ignition. They hauled him off, gave him a ticket. What? He has to take a class?
He was, you know, basically arrested.
Take a class.
They put who knows what they're going to do. His blood BAC was 0.18%.
0.18, okay.
Yeah, you know.
That's on up there, yeah.
But I don't know what they're doing. I've got the little documents here. They were just showing that the make of the vehicle was a horse and buggy. So I don't know. But as Curtis says, you can get a DUI in a wheelchair, and there's no keys for that either. So, but anyway.
Yeah, or the
skateboard. Probably,
well, no, but the motorized chair, whatever the Barker Lounger guy got.
Yeah, the lazy boy.
Yeah.
So I mean, well, yeah.
I gotta build me one of those.
That'd be really cool.
There are so many things like that. We talked years and years ago about having a Gauchemobile here. We were gonna get one of those.
The most god-awful thing to look at that you could imagine. Like a toilet for a passenger seat. And
oh, yeah, you know, no, yeah. That's the way you got to go.
No,
right,
no,
right.
Four different hubcaps.
Oh, what we're going to do is start off with a giant Buick station wagon.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then really go wild.
Yeah.
I mean, shark fins and tusks. And all over every possible bumper sticker you can imagine that is like so contradictory you cannot imagine.
Right.
And well, the object was to get arrested for disturbing the traffic because it was an unsightly nuisance, menace, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
Just you're driving your car and you don't like my paint scheme, right?
Right.
So and to have them haul you out. This was the same thing as when we threw the money out the window.
Right.
You know,
well, not exactly the same, but
no, but I mean inciting a riot over something
right.
that you should be able to do any day of the week, and they felony inciting a riot kind
right.
of thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you can, maybe we should put a link to donate to the Gauchemobile on the Jimmy Doan site. And,
well, that money's all going to go to the unextraditable country, so yeah. We'll have it down there, okay?
And you probably wouldn't have any problem.
No. It would be actually what we would do probably would be put it up on stilts and say when you come to see Jimmy in the non-extraditable location. The way you will recognize our mailbox is it's this giant Buick, whatever the hell it is, Gauchemobile up on stilts.
With the back thing open.
With the back thing open for mail. No problem. Master approved.
Master approved. You just put this little window. It's an automatic door. You just, load the mail there.
Well, or if we could have the hood just open up and snap shut.
Snap shut, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Hey, Stitch, you were a Navy guy, right?
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, well, the Navy is set to deploy a new breed of sailor.
A new breed of sailor?
They got males and females and what else?
Dolphins.
Ah, yes.
What they're doing is they're using dolphins to protect the U.S. nuclear subs. And I figured out why. I didn't understand. But what happens is when we have a sub over in port, the berth for the sub is really tight, and they give these subs this really expensive stealth paint job. So what they want to do is they want to move the sub out, but they don't want it to, like, smack against the wall. So they've trained these dolphins to ride between the submarine and the wall. And so the submarine, when it bounces back and forth, it just crushes the dolphins, but it doesn't actually hurt the paint job on the sub.
What?
Where
the hell did you read that?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to say... We use dolphins, but not for that.
No, okay. Apparently it was to stop the intruders from swimming up in there.
Yeah, generally anti-swimmer. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Anybody swimming around in that water, watch out.
You're going to get a dolphin up your...
You're going to get a dolphin headbutt.
Headbutt. Nose snout butt.
Well, if you remember the old Flipper show, you know, Flipper would always come in and start headbutting the sharks, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Inevitably, you know, drive all the sharks away just through sheer ferocity of his headbutt.
Well, how hard would it be to put on a little dolphin costume, for God's sakes? You know, just swim on
a dolphin costume. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be dressed up as a female dolphin.
No. You'd have a big whatever schlong hanging down there, so you'd recognize.
Oh yeah, just make sure everybody knows.
Yeah,
I'm a guy dolphin.
I'm a guy dolphin. No, yeah.
I'm not a homo dolphin.
No, wear a big watch. Get a tattoo.
Get a tattoo. Yeah. It's good. You know, a right. Gang mark.
Right.
Yeah.
And, and make sure, no pink, you know.
No pink. Oh, look at that sexy guy dolphin. Ooh, yeah, you don't want to be wearing any
don't
pink.
Need that. No, I don't need that.
I just got one other thing here I was looking at. Somebody was sending this around. I thought this was pretty funny. That dumbing down. This was after scouring exam papers and speaking to teachers, British humorist Richard Benson... has collected the worst student howlers in a new book.
Oh, God. Some of those were funny.
Yeah. Well, the first one was, what is a nitrate? And the answer was, much cheaper than a day rate. what did Mahatma Gandhi and Genghis Khan have in common?
Weird names.
Yeah, weird names.
You got it.
I love this one. Name six animals which live specifically in the Arctic. And he writes down 2 polar bears, 4 seals. let's see
that's
here.
At a court. Yeah, okay, right.
Let's see. how does Romeo's character develop throughout the play? He doesn't. It's just self, 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 self all the way through. name the wife of Orpheus whom he attempted to save from the underworld.
Mrs. Orpheus.
Mrs.
Yes!
Orpheus.
Oh, there's no... I'll tell you one thing. There is no putting it over on Stitch. My God, we got the genius on the other end.
I tell you, they didn't call you the rocket scientist for a reason.
That's right.
Hey, where was the American Declaration of Independence signed?
On the bottom.
Yes! Yes! You the man! You the man! Okay, you passed the quiz.
What happens?
Yeah, they should have a whole Jeopardy show.
Yeah.
Where they ask these questions and the answers, and you get rewarded for the correct wrong answer.
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, they have the Jaywalking All-Stars every once in a while that they come on with some of that stuff.
Well, what is a fibula? It's a little lie.
Fibula. Right.
Let's see here. Explain the phrase free press. When your mum irons trousers for you. I'll have to link to this. There's a bunch more
link,
of them.
Yeah, link. I got it.
Yeah, you need to link that, brother.
Yeah, we got Stitch got in on the first link, so he can get on the last. That's good. All right, what is we going to go?
Yeah, we got to take off. Stitch, it was an awful pleasure to,
it sure was an awful pleasure. Always, I certainly appreciate you guys letting me on the show. And,
no, we wouldn't have it any other.
Yeah, you get to vent a little bit.
Yeah.
And I hope Counselor Curtis feels better.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah, well, he'll be back. I'm sure he'll be bummed out he missed it, but he'll be
back. He won't miss it.
No, I know. He'll hear it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And again, there it's discovered for him perfectly.
Yeah,
so,
no problem. Gave legal advice and everything.
Gave legal advice and everything. Exactly. I can't wait to tell him.
Yeah. Yeah. You get sued for practicing law without a license, okay? Be prepared for a summons.
Well, he's in Colorado.
An indictment, you know.
In Curtis's grand jury. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, next time you guys think about asking me on the show, just remember I'd rather light myself on fire and race through a meth lab.
Well, how about racing through the meth lab first and then the fire?
Right.
Then you don't care.
Then you don't care, right.
No, then it's no big deal.
Okay.
Alrighty, guys. Well, we'll hopefully see you again. Again, buy all your Christmas presents through our Amazon.com link on JimmyDone.com.
Yep.
And you can write us at Jimmy@JIMMYDONE.com.
And checks are still valid, too.
Checks are still valid with us. There's no question.
And we're not in Britain.
Nope. And we'll get our mojo working.
Yep.
And hopefully see you back again soon.
Okay. Yeah, Jimmy Doe Show rocks.
All right. Listen to Hanger Dogs, too.
Old ones.
Until Jimmy gets the window.
Maybe.
See ya.
When I drop New York, yeah, you got your mojo. Get your mojo working. Yaddy ho, yeah. Yaddy ho, yeah. Yay, oh. Get your mojo working, Randy Dennis, and then I said, whoops, there it is.